3, 2, 1.
You ain't seen nothing yet. Hey guys, this is Chef Rich Rosendale. You know I always have a hunger for food, inspiration, and adventure. Well, this podcast is dedicated to our journey around the world, meeting interesting people, tasting delicious food, and experiencing new adventures around every corner. It's not just for chefs, but for food enthusiasts, entrepreneurs, and modern-day adventurous. Just because you're wondering doesn't mean you're lost. Let's dig in. What's up, podcast community? Rich Rosendale here again for another episode of our podcast. Well, this week we are talking with Charles Carroll, and Charles reached out about doing an episode talking about Rosendale Collective, inquiring about what's new in our company. And of course, I was happy to oblige. Charles and I go way back on our days with the U.S. culinary team together, and he has remained as a good friend. He's very inspiring. He's a very talented chef. And he also just recently has co-written a book. It's called The Recipe. And it's a great read. I actually just started reading it and thoroughly enjoying it. But I think you're going to enjoy this podcast. Some interesting questions. Let's dig in.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have Rich Rosendale, certified master chef in-house. He is an amazing, inspirational guy. He's representing the United States of America on a world stage on several different occasions. And the way that we met was through the American Culinary Federation on the Culinary Olympic team. He's represented, we'll find out how many teams he's been on, but he's won several gold medals, and there's no better feelings standing on stage winning a gold medal for your country. So that's pretty cool. And he's also represented the United States of America in the very prestigious competition, the Bocuse d'Or, which is held in Lyon, France. He did an amazing job representing us there and had a great following. And now he is kind of blowing and going around the world, sharing his message and teaching and sharing really one of the highest standards in our craft there possibly could be. And we're so proud to have Richard Rosendale in house. Richard, welcome to the show, bro.
Hey, what's up, Charles? Phil, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks, guys, for inviting me to the show.
Oh, man, I know it's been a while getting you here, but, we're persistent here at the... the podcast. And, we've been friends for many, many years, and I really enjoy our friendship, Rich. But to start with, I kind of brushed over some things, but... first off, tell us where you're at your home, and then tell us a little bit, the listeners, a little bit more about you.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm actually at home right now, and I live in Northern Virginia, and I had left the Greenbrier about 5 years ago. And, you know, it's kind of a pretty cool feeling, I think, as a chef. And it's one of the great things about this industry is that whenever I resigned from the Greenbrier, I had decided, it's like, okay, where do I want to live? And the cool thing about cooking or being a chef is it's like, you know, you could pretty much just pull out a map and pick anywhere in the country or anywhere in the world and just say, hey, that's where I'm going to plop myself down in. And I ended up settling here in Northern Virginia. I am very methodical about like everything I do. I decided Northern Virginia would be great. Yeah. You know that for me over the years, but, one of the great things about where I'm at right now is I have great proximity to Washington, D.C., a major metro market. So for our events and catering and the restaurant, it has great transient market for that. And then I also travel a lot, as you indicated, which was one of the reasons it was a little challenging for us to find a time to make this work. But being so close to Washington Dulles Airport, it makes flying pretty much direct anywhere super easy for me. So that's where I live. As far as like what I do, I mean, I have a restaurant here. It's a restaurant in the market. I also, and this, it's actually the restaurant's name is Roots 657. And my company that I started when I first left the Greenbrier was Rosendale Collective. And that, Charles, as you indicated, and Phil, is the cooking classes and the private events. And we have we do travel quite a bit in that aspect of what we do.
So, I mean, there's a million things that you just brushed over there. Let's go back to the start, man. I know that you apprenticed at the Greenbrier, and we all know the Greenbrier is a breeding ground for amazing culinarians if they choose to, first of all, survive the program and delve into it and want to be amazingly successful. The Greenbrier is certainly that property, and that's where you cut your teeth. What was your inspiration there, and what where does Rich Rosendale come from? Where did Rich Rosendale get this drive? Because you don't see your kind of drive very often. You know, you'll see it, you know, maybe for a year in somebody. Maybe you'll have, you know, one out of every 14 people, if you're lucky, on your property that has a little bit of the drive that you have. What do you attribute to that?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I am going to kind of even go back even further than my years at the Greenbrier. And I think, you know, I've been very fortunate over the years that I've enjoyed a lot of chapters of success in my career. But one of the greatest compliments that I kind of can still remember is when I went back to the Greenbrier as the executive chef, Carrie Sweet, who was our charcuterie chef there. One of the things that he told me, he's like, he goes, "Rich, man, you have not changed." He's like, and I mean that as a compliment. He was talking about whenever he knew young Rich Rosendale, the apprentice. And I feel like staying humble and being confident, but not rude through my career has really just opened up so many great opportunities. And I've continued to learn from people, and I'm still learning from people. And the apprenticeship at the Greenbrier, you know, even kind of going back, I feel like this momentum and this energy and this trajectory really started very early on in my career. When I did the Greenbrier's apprenticeship, believe it or not, I had just finished a 3-year apprenticeship back in Westmoreland at where I lived in southwestern Pennsylvania in Uniontown. I did a 3-year apprenticeship, and I had my truck parked outside during the practical. And as soon as I was done with the practical and I graduated, I ran outside, got in that car, it was a Toyota Tacoma, and it was like loaded to the gills with like all cooking equipment, you know, like some clothes and mostly cooking equipment. And I drove down there that night. I got into White Sulphur Springs like about 1 o'clock in the morning, got pulled over at like 1 a.m. I still remember that. There's like one stoplight in White Sulphur and somehow I got over. but yeah, right. I was like, oh my God, it's going to be like the only police car in White Sulphur Springs. but anyway, I guess, the origins of that work ethic, it was even before the Greenbrier. And people ask me all the time, like, who inspires you? Who are some of your earlier mentors? And people are, you know, you would expect to hear this myriad of all these different chefs I've worked with. Well, ironically, actually, my mom really shaped a big part of who I am today. When I was about 5 years old, my sister and I were essentially being raised by my mom. My parents had split up and my dad had left. And we had a terrible house fire that same year. It was on Christmas Day, and we really lost everything. Wow. So to see my mom's work ethic and her strength going through that period, she basically picked everything up, moved us to Uniontown, Pennsylvania, and we started over. And one of the reasons, and I point to this as something that has shaped who I am today, is I remember when we moved there, the entire community had given us clothes and furniture and even a car for my mom to drive. Wow. So those are to me those are seeds that are planted very early on that really kind of shape your life's view and your paradigm and outlook on life, and to be grateful and to have the responsibility to keep up that momentum. I still have that today, but it started well before the apprenticeship with the Greenbrier.
So that's awesome, Rich. Let's touch on this a little bit, because I want our listeners, and especially our younger listeners, to, because I share some of what you're saying. you went through a 3-year apprenticeship, and then you went to the Greenbrier and went through that apprenticeship. So, I mean, most people, especially, I don't want to tag today's generation too much here, but you know, 9 times out of 10, anybody who completes 3 years of anything, you know, they're done on the way. Give me a sous chef job. I'm ready for
executive chef job. Yeah, I'm the executive chef.
Right. Give me some cash.
Right.
Show me the money. And in my case, I apprenticed at the Balsams Grand Resort Hotel for almost 3 years. And then I went to the Culinary Institute of America. So I'm not speaking for you, but for me, having done that, I was able to go to CIA and grasp so much more because I knew what a steam kettle was. I knew how to make a beurre blanc. I knew how to make a consommé. So I could grab all of that and then more. Can you speak at that a little bit going into the Greenbrier?
Yeah. Well, and you know, and I think it's important to note that for everybody, they may have a different path, but they all arrive in their own mind's eye what they consider success to be and what fulfills people. And I tell people, it's like, look, you don't even have to even go to culinary school and you may be wildly successful, but success is defined in what you envision it to be, you know, and you can accomplish your goals and your dreams and objectives and aspirations in a whole different, you know, lots of different angles. Mm-hmm. But I considered going to the Greenbrier as more of a finishing school. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I went to do my first 3-year apprenticeship, I mean, honestly, guys, I didn't know really anything. And people, one of the big assumptions people make about me is that I've been just had this, you know, easy path that, well, that's just Rich Rosendahl. He's a natural, and you know, that really isn't the case. It was hard work. Right. You know, I wasn't the best cook in the class, but by the end of the semester, I elevated beyond anybody else because of hard work. Mm-hmm. And that drive and that determination. And I still maintain those principles in everything that I do today, even as the executive chef and director of food and beverage at the Greenbrier, where I was overseeing 18 kitchens and 200 chefs on property. And, you know, I think that one of the reasons that I do what I do and I've kept up the momentum is because inspiring other people actually inspires me. And I think it is so important in whatever it is that you do. I don't care if you, you know, work on cars or you build houses or you bake cakes. You've got to have something inside that gets you just wildly enthusiastic about what the next day holds for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, keep setting these milestones for me has really kind of turned into like a lifestyle. And you know, but it's inspiring and it keeps the momentum. It almost just feels natural to me.
Mm-hmm. So Rich, have you ever... And you're wildly successful now. But did you ever have a time in your life at any point during this time that you just looked at, you put your hands in your head and say, fuck, you know, God, I just,
oh yeah, totally.
I don't want to do this anymore. Or geez, what am I doing? Yeah. Or do I need to abandon ship and try something else?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could tell you there were times at the Greenbrier when we were opening up, all these new restaurants at like breakneck speed. And it was like, there were times where I was just like, oh my God, you know, this is like, instead of owning a restaurant and trying to, you know, steer a speedboat, this place is like an aircraft carrier. And trying to get your arms around it on many days felt overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But I knew that I had to kind of maintain that for my team. And yeah, you get, everybody has bad days. I mean, it's funny, you know, of all the different things I've done over the years, whenever I get introduced, you know, people will be like certified master chef and US culinary team, Boku's Door and Roots and all these things. And I'm thinking like, well, man, that's great. But one of the first things I do whenever I get introduced and I talk to the audience when I go places, especially if it's young people, I tell them, I say, you know, as very, as nice as it always is to hear accolades, I almost feel like it would be more relevant and more impactful if somebody introduced me by all of the things that I failed at. The process of getting to where I am today, or getting to be the executive chef of the Greenbrier, or being the Boku store candidate, because along the way, there were a lot of things that just didn't go well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my first restaurant that I opened up in Columbus, you know, I lost a lot of money in that process. And, but I got through it. I learned so much from the process. It's helped me create a successful restaurant and market here in Virginia, because I've learned so much from that. But yeah, I think sometimes people just hear all the accolades and they hear the resume and often overlook what is really beneath the surface. And that's all the hard work. And that's how you can connect with a lot of young people, because they need to hear that. They need to hear, look, I started off sitting in the same seat that you are. Mm-hmm. And you can get here if you are willing to work for it.
Mm. Well, let's talk about that, Rich. Let's talk about some of those challenges or the failures that you talk about. You know, what are they? So going back to the restaurant, knowing everything you know now, what would you have done different, or could have you done different, or tell us about that.
Right. Well, a huge life lesson or business lesson rather, in the restaurant versus what we have today, is that the younger, earlier version of Rich Rosendahl, earlier in my career, was much more disciplined and rigid about what my business was going to look like and what the customer was going to eat. Like, this is what you know, it's hard to tell the public what to eat. Mm. It is easier to cook what the public wants. Mm-hmm. And the connection can still be applying your standards of quality to whatever it is that you're cooking. But when I was at Rosendahl's, we were doing fine dining. Oh my God, at that time, you know, we were doing like 8-course blind tasting menus and 5-course tastings, and we were selling a lot, but I didn't understand how fragile that longevity was, because the growth had it really, where the business had really kind of lost momentum right whenever the recession had hit. And I had seen really how exposed our business was essentially like overnight. And it was like, you're still paying rent, you're still paying payroll, you're still, you know, you have all the overhead that is just inevitable. And if you don't have the revenue, the sales coming in, that's a very scary place to be in. And, you know, at Roots, where I'm much more nimble, and I try to cook stuff that's going to be craveable, that it's just going to make people say, man, I want to go back there. I want to go back there and eat again this week. I mean, we have people that come in there and then they come in the next day, or they come in there 3 times a week. And that's a really good feeling. I mean, we could do 1,000 people on a Sunday, and anybody can come. That was another thing, is that, you know, cooking food at a very high level, a lot of fine dining, to me, I felt that so many of my peers and family, people that I wanted to enjoy my cuisine, but it was so, so refined and such considered a special occasion. I mean, even at the Greenbrier, how many people that I knew would ever come and actually get to experience it? But Roots is on the other side of the spectrum. Everybody can come. And you know what? They still say the same thing, and they still walk out, you know, wow factor, like, oh my God, that was unbelievable. And that's a really wonderful feeling.
So tell us about Roots, and where did the name come from, and what kind of food you doing there? And why is this restaurant, I guess I'm hearing, is this restaurant's better because, or is being successful because you're cooking what people want. But tell us about Roots and where the name come from and what's it all about.
Well, I mean, I do think that it is successful because of we're cooking food that has broad market appeal, but it is, think about it. I mean, having a, $150 tasting menu versus, coming in and having, I still have sous vide short ribs as a special on Tuesday, and they're selling out. Mm. I mean, it's wonderful. I mean, that's something I had on a tasting menu at the Greenbrier for years. Mm. But one of the other things is that I think that is also part of the success is I've also learned a lot. When you give somebody that's like 30 years old or in their 20s, like, carte blanche to order like whatever you want as far as equipment, you don't necessarily have the business capacity or experience to really kind of determine like, hey, I got to sell a lot of steaks to pay for this.
Right.
So my approach at Roots has been somebody that has a much broader scope of knowledge and experience because of everything I did at Rosendell's. And I tell everybody, like, you don't really understand money until you lose money. And when you lose it, it becomes much more, you respect it more. And also, I think one of the great things about Roots is that I consider it almost like conscious capitalism, where I'm trying to do something that can use my reach as a chef that is world traveled, that has built this platform, or they've built this, beautiful new building that the entire community can share in its growth and success. So I sell stuff in there on consignment with some of the other small businesses. We feature local wines. I have all local beers on tap. I use local Rosetta Farms beef for the burgers. It's been something that somebody that maybe is passionate about honey or passionate about making wooden cutting boards can put their product in there and get tremendous traffic because of the, because of my exposure, because of everything that I've done and, mm-hmm. My name being on the building, and the quality of the experience that we put in there, it really creates great synergy. And that's another reason I think that it's easier to be successful, because it's not one person, enjoying the success. It's really the entire community.
Mm. So where's Roots 657? Where's that name come from?
So the name Roots refers to recycling business and money back into the community. And the 657 is the intersection that it is at. And the road is very high traffic. We get about 45,000 cars a day pass in front of the place. And you guys, I'm telling you, you'd be blown away. I mean, you look at where we're at, we have close proximity to Washington and the airport, but it feels kind of rural because we're like right on the outskirts on the cusp of Virginia wine country. And it's amazing the people that we've had there already. I mean, we've had, even just this week, we had the Chinese embassy in there for the fourth time. We've had the vice premier of China there. Wow. We are really popular in China. I can't really quite put my finger on it, but we've had a lot of, we've had so many of the Chinese delegation and they love Roots. They love Roots.
That's awesome. And Rich, do you have a partner with that in that project, or is that all you?
So I have an equal partner with, and I also gave my, one of the chefs from the Greenbrier who came on board with me, Joe Peroni, who's the day-to-day chef de cuisine there. And I'm actually an investor I also have Muriel Sarmati, who is she's one of my partners. And they're the ones that actually started to build the project.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And so I basically do all of the food, and also I evaluate the products that are coming in and select the items that we would want to sell there. But I know that when people look at it, it's like you see Roots and then you see all the other things that we're doing. Well, Rosendell Collective is a separate business. It's a separate entity. But there is some crossover in what we do.
So that's awesome, Rich. But I also saw on Facebook that you looked like you broke new ground next to Roots or something. Was that right?
We did. We're actually in the process right now of, on Monday, we're going to be putting up a solar panel pergola that'll be covering the patio. We're adding a demonstration kitchen that's going to be sponsored with Mila, so we're really looking forward to that. And we actually have, for the Rosendale Collective part of our business, which is going to be more for our cooking classes and a lot of our higher-end events, we have a warehouse that's also in Northern Virginia, and that will start later this year as well. So a lot of construction hats that we're wearing right now.
Wow, that sounds exciting as hell. Congratulations on that, man. We're a little bit up against it, Rich, but I did want to touch on, I don't know which one you want to talk about, either the Bacchus or the Olympics, your experiences there representing the United States.
Well, you know, they both have great lessons, but probably the Bacchus tour, I think, is probably relevant. You know, you had mentioned earlier about some of the things that maybe did not go as planned. And I will tell you, you know, whenever we competed, anybody that's watched the movie, The Contender, will see that when we competed in the Bacchus tour, we put so much into that initiative and so much planning. And, you know, in our mind's eye, we were going to land first place on the podium, but it just didn't happen that way. Mm-hmm. But I still feel that whole initiative really kind of helped contribute to the overall success of the team. And I still stay on board as a coach, and I am for this next round as well. So it's had a huge impact on my life. And even though it was a lot of adversity, going through the preparation of it.
Mm. Rich, you're one in a thousand kind of guy as far as your discipline and your work ethic I don't know, constantly pushing the envelope. You know, just recently, you know, we had the news of Anthony Bourdain, and here's a guy that had, you know, the world by the ass. He had everything in, you know, in the palm of his hand. Anything that the guy would ever want, you think, or need, he could snap his fingers and probably make happen. He's amazingly wealthy. He's very, very successful. Has so many shows on TV. Yet there is something missing, obviously, and we may never know. Can you speak at that a little bit? You know, we got some listeners out there that can't even fathom your success. So, you know, what can we do to inspire people out there, whether they're a chef or a electrician looking to expand their business, to be careful about monitoring their own mind as they go through the bumps and bruises?
Right. Well, I got to tell you, that morning waking up to that was, I mean, it affected me a lot more than what I thought it would. I mean, it really kind of just lingered with me for the rest of the day. And where I'm at in Northern Virginia, there's a heavy, lot of military, a lot of government people in here. And there's this one guy that came into Roots that had said he had worked with like special ops and talked about losing somebody in your community or somebody on your team. And he said, I just wanted to come up to you. He goes, I don't know how well you knew Anthony, but I just wanted to tell you that, you know, I'm really sorry for your loss. And throughout the day, there were just things like that, it was just, I think, profound for everybody, because we all had this image of who he was and how successful, and just couldn't fathom something like this happening. And I would say that I think that it is hard at every stage of your life that, you know, for me, I think about mortality, and I think about, you know, someday, you know, I try to live every day like it's my last, because one day I'm going to be right about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that we just have to really cherish the moments, the people around us. And as hard as I work, the best times for me are the ones with my family and my kids, the people, my friends, the people that I care about. My wife and I have been together since seventh grade, and we have three wonderful children, and I really spend a lot of time with them. And it helps me it helps feed the momentum for the work execution, but you really, really do need to think about mental health for everybody. And, you know, I don't know if it's getting out and exercise or just taking a breath away from work, but I think work also is a part of it. I mean, success isn't money and Twitter followers and all these tangible things. Mm-hmm. A big part of it is also just how you feel. Mm-hmm. And you need to make sure you make that a big part of your focus, of making sure that you're doing something that fulfills you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we point to the wrong things when we're measuring what success is. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Yeah. Well said there. And I know you and I have some very fond memories of some very dear people in our lives. And, yeah, it's scary. Anyway, as you know, I'm a big fan and of you and your work, and I appreciate, and value our friendship. And I really want to thank you for being on the show. But Rich,
well, Charles, I did want to say too, I mean, of course I would have done this because we are good friends, but I have been telling everybody we do our classes all over the place, and I really enjoy the show. There's a lot of people out there doing podcasts, but I thought you've had some just amazing guests. I think that they're relevant topics, and I think the show's, I think you guys do a really great job, and I want to congratulate you and Phil and the entire team on the success, and I look forward to more episodes.
Thanks, man.
Sure do appreciate it. Yeah, appreciate it. We're excited. We're moving our studio next week, so we're growing a little bit too, and we're not putting any solar panels in, but you know, but we're excited about the next step for us too. But Rich, before we go, man, tell everybody where they can find you and how they can book your demos, and tell us everybody a little bit, plug where you're at and how they can get a hold of you for your shows and stuff.
Yes. Well, for the restaurant, all of the social media handles is roots@657. And to talk directly to me is, at Rich Rosendell, and for the classes and our private events is at Rosendell Collective on all of the social media handles. We're very engaged in social media, so we'd love to talk with you.
Awesome. Hey, man, congratulations again. And I think I'm going to see you in a couple of weeks.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll definitely get together for...
Is he going to Malaysia?
No, he's going. We're going to the ACF. We're doing a gig there.
I was like, cool, I get to meet this guy, but no.
Are you? Are you? You're there on that Monday, Rich? On Monday or?
I believe Thursday. Thursday. Yeah, I'll get there Wednesday, and then Thursday I'm doing a presentation.
Okay.
And to give you an idea, just with the schedule, we get there Thursday, and then I come back on Friday, and I'm going to be in California. We've got some classes out at the University of Southern California. So wow. We're crazy schedule.
Wow. Well, I'm flying back from Malaysia and going right to. I'm on the front end of it. I'm going on Monday, present on Tuesday, and then back on Tuesday. So,
Okay.
We're going to miss each other. But hey, brother. So best luck to you. I know I'm going to connect with you all the time anyway. And again, great success. And we love having you on the show. We'll have to have you back as well.
Sounds good. Look forward to it.
Yeah. Thanks again, Rich Rosendell, Certified Master Chef, for being with us today on the show. Phil, thank you for being in studio. With us. And so a big thank you from Phil Phoenix and myself and the recipe. And ladies and gentlemen, please go to chefcharlescarroll.com and subscribe and share with a friend and tell us, give us some notes, tell us what you think, and go to and listen to all our celebrity shows as well. So thanks again, Rich Rosendell. Remember, everybody, you're special, you're great. Make an impact on someone's life today. See you next time.